It's the G Lou Show. G Lou, G Lou. It's the G Lou Show. G Lou, G Lou. Westside Wednesdays. West Coast Hip Hop. 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. Hey. Now just kick off your shoes and relax your feet. You're now rocking to the sounds of the G Lou Lee. In the game like EA, do this shit the G way. Do it for the black brown rules to the keyways. From the west side to East LA, Crenshaw to Huntington, Whittier to East Lake. We play the music OGs, low ride to. When it's done to bang, same thing they drive by to. Every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 on the G Lou Show, that's where the west side rides. So kick cat, kick back, fire up the slip, cause we about to take flight on this OG ship. So call 803-4001, but don't forget to put the 914 at the front. Then press the number 1 to holler at G Lou. I think I got you queued in. Hey caller, was that you? Caller. Caller, was that you? Westside Wednesdays. Blogtalkradio.com/the G-Lou Show. 914-803-4001. West Coast Hip Hop at its finest, homie. California. The G Lou Show. Hey, we just gon' ride, homie. We just gon' ride. Hit that switch though. Original Music Group Productions. Blog Talk Radio in association with the G Lou Show. Westside Wednesday.
Divide into two warring clans, the Crips and the Bloods or Pirus. The leader of the Santana Block Crips is 24, a drug peddler. He's been a gang member since he was 14. Kenneth Johnson, known as Turtle.
How I started, I had just moved to California. And I was going to Roosevelt Junior High School. And a lot of Bloods just come up to the school and run them everybody home. You know, and I used to wonder, you know, what's happening? What they running everybody home for? What, it's skating ring, partner? So, you know, I used to wonder what they running for. What's Crip? What's Piru? So I go home. My buddies used to, you know, ask me what I'm doing coming from that way. You a Piru? I said, no, man. And I get stopped on the other side of the street. They ask me if I'm a Crip. And I say, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So I was in the, you know, in the blind. I didn't know what was what. Until a couple of guys told me, you know, Piru's over there, you know, Crips over here, you know. So I said, is that right? What's that? It's a gang, a street gang. You know, so me and my little brother, we didn't know, you know, we didn't know nothing. You know, we knew. So after a while, you know, we got to going along, you know, getting used to it. You know, so we started being in the street gang too. Crips. You know, I started knowing what the Crip was.
How does a guy get respect within the gang?
Well, it's like this. When I didn't have no big brothers, and you know, like I used to have a fight in school, and I used to have to run home because they go get their big brother on me. So I started saying, you know, I can't be running home. You know, because I get ran home, my mama make me fight. Because if I lose that fight, that means she gonna whoop my ass. So I had to win. That way, I wouldn't get two ass whooping. So if I get beat up, my mama gonna whoop my ass for losing the fight. So I start, you know, acting crazy, you know.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the G Lou Show.
world famous G Lou show, West Side Wednesdays. Man, I'm G Lou, your maestro for the evening. I'm joined by my beautiful, lovely, great, incomparable, spectacular co-host, the lovely Miss Queen Jean. Good evening, Queen.
Good evening, G Lou. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, sweetheart. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What's going on? Are you excited about our guest?
Yeah, I am. I am pretty excited about this. I know I was amped up because I think this will be a real good episode. Not an interview, just a conversation, like you say. And, you know, our guest, man, is real. Man, I just think this will be real interesting. You know what I mean? Very outspoken, you know, OG, double OG, you know, and just got a lot to say, speak about, a lot of insight, a lot of intelligence, and a lot of history. You know what I mean? Coming from Compton, California.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about tonight. How about you?
Yes, most definitely. I'll piggyback off of that as well. Very intelligent as well, and very knowledgeable, and has a lot of insight to the whole gang activity. You know, so like I told him earlier, you're going to tell them what they don't know, what they think they know, what they think they do. So
right.
That's what the platform is about.
Right,
to come
right.
out here and just, you know, put them up on what they don't know. You know, because everybody thinks that they know everything about somebody, and it's always something that you can learn about somebody that you don't know. So, yeah.
Right.
I'm excited.
Right, right. Yep. Exactly. And that's why I started the show off with the intro I did, you know, Big OG
yeah.
Turtle, which I guess is homeboy. You know what I mean? I'm sure we have a lot to speak on him too, which was a very, very good brother as well that we lost many years ago. But one of the cornerstones and fabrics and just the man of that neighborhood that our guest comes from. So I had to hit you with that intro as well. Rest in peace to Big Turtle. And with that being said, our guest is here, Queen. So I guess why don't you go ahead and introduce him because he's here.
Okay, well, let's welcome Harvey OG Cripsag Hartsfield, straight out of Compton. Welcome to the show, sir. How you doing?
I'm honored. Thank you, God. Thank you. Y'all hear
good
me?
Good evening, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes,
y'all guys, you guys hear me? Okay, great.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
I'm honored. I am honored to be here.
My man.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you here. Trust and believe that. It's our pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, I was really feeling that intro. Always, darling. Always comfortable. Yeah, I'm always comfortable. I was feeling that intro I was saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
A pretty good intro he
Thank
did.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Well, since we did that intro and we have you here now, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself personally and properly for the people out there who don't know, you know what I mean? Let them know who we got on here tonight.
Well, my name is Harvey Duveen Hartsfield. And I'm the oldest son of Ace Nibblings, and I'm the fourth child. I was born in Los Angeles, August 29, 1961, at White Memorial Hospital. And from there, we stayed various places in Los Angeles. I believe it was Town Avenue I came out of the hospital to. We was also, I believe, on 43rd Place and Long Beach Avenue, somewhere near Lock High, maybe.
Okay.
We also was on 83rd and Hoover, 108th and Central on the backside of Markham with one of my father's cousins for a short while. And a lot of that
okay.
I do remember. And then from there we relocated to 96th in Broadway. in
all
January
on the east side.
1960. Yes, but we was on 83rd and Hoover too at one time, but that's
okay.
Like east side somewhat too.
Yeah,
but,
borderline.
Yeah,
right.
And then we moved to Compton January 1968.
Okay. Compton, California. Compton, California. Tell us about, landing in Compton in 68 and what was it like back in Compton in 68, a little bit before the Crippin and all that. What was going on with you as a young man landing in Compton?
Well, first, we were all happy. Because at that time, we was getting the results from the civil rights movement at that time. And,
right.
Blacks were finally being allowed to venture into other suburbs. And places like Compton and Linwood and Carson were suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So coming into to Compton, us as kids, we were sort of happy about it. And our parents was more like trying to absorb their dream. So what to speak, you understand?
Right.
And definitely at the time, it wasn't no Crips or anything of that nature. But yes, you had groups of guys that ran around and stuck together and bothered people, et cetera, like that. But it wasn't no Crips or nothing of that nature at that time. You understand?
Right, right.
But we had gangs.
Oh, go ahead. Right, right, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, you got back.
Okay, I was just going to ask you at this time. So was it still, like you said, it was groups forming and groups and not per se Crips and all that. But at this time, was it still somewhat of a good neighborhood in Compton? Was it still white people around or was
it a
suburb?
I would say so. We still had white people living in the community when we moved there.
Right.
But they were slowly getting out. But they were still in there, yes. But by the time the Crips became full-fledged, they was out of there, bro.
Right.
They was out of there.
Right. So so you're talking about 68. So I would say a year or two later, a couple years later, you start getting the Crips or things of that nature coming into Compton. How were you kind of introduced to all of this as a young kid?
Well, I had older cousins that's the original Crips themselves. Yeah.
Okay.
Me myself, I'm a first generation Crip, but I was initiated into the baby Crips in that era. You understand? So I had affiliation with them since 1970.
Okay.
Seeing them, being around them. And, but I didn't get initiated into the gang myself until 1973.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Being that you lived on the east side and all that, and you said...
I lost you. Hello?
Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay, cool. I was saying that being that you came before you moved to Compton from the east side and you said you had family that were original members, were you already hearing about or knowing about the Crips before they came to Compton since it kind of started on the east side and moved on towards Compton? Okay.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I recognized them in Los Angeles, in the greater east side, in the Watts area, before I actually recognized them in the city of Compton myself. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Now, when they started in Compton,
go ahead. Mm-hmm.
It started on the west side of the city. Now, the guys who were responsible for bringing the Crips into Compton, well, we all know Mac Thomas is a major role in that, but you got other homeboys that was vital in him putting that down, you understand? So, yeah, guys like Michael LeBlanc and Reuben Connors and Michael Redman and King Neen and Frosty and them guys, you know.
Right.
But my cousins, you know, Melvin a little more private, so I won't throw his last name out.
Okay.
And my cousin Joe Turner was involved with them dudes, Arthur Day, Head Honcho, and them. All them guys there are the cornerstones to the Compton Crips, as well as Big Kelsey and Vernon, Mr. X, rest in peace. I'm going and on. Big Bruno.
Right.
I mean, the list can go on, but, you know, as far as my big bros go, you understand?
Right, right.
It started up over there on the west side of the city first. But it spread rapidly, brother, you know,
like a wildfire.
But it's just, yeah, like simultaneously, brother. I mean, gangs is forming within days and weeks and hours of each other. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, it was crazy. Go ahead.
Right. Let me ask you this, Sag. Being that, you know, I don't know, you said when you landed in Compton, I'm not sure where you lived at then, but I know you did live on the east side over there on Rose and all that. Tell me this. First, mm-hmm. how did it make its way over there to where you guys are, being that you always were surrounded by Pyrus? And also, were you already hearing about the Pyrus as well first, before the Crips or simultaneously?
Yes, sir. I heard of the Pyrus Street Boys. I would say around 67, bro.
That far back.
I heard of them guys.
Okay.
Then you have, they was calling a swamp in the Twilight area over there, the hole back in the day.
Okay.
That section over there. And they was known as the hole. You know, it's a swamp area now over there. But,
right.
Yeah.
I heard the swamp were some of the original first Crips. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. I mean, that term swamp been established
before.
Long before, like, the Crips came up. They just put the Crips on their thing. See, the thing is, that's the thing. Like, you had a lot of groups. Guys who had their own little groups, brother, you know what I mean?
Right.
And St. Louis, they was all falling under the Crips. Some was being pressured into it. Some wasn't. Some was like, oh, them my partners, I know them anyway, we might as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Type thing. But I remember the Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Them guys wore overalls.
Okay.
I remember the Car clubs. Riviera, Chevrolets, the Mazdas, I'm in them car club now.
Right.
I remember Park Boys. Anywhere it was a park, you had Park Boys. So if they hung in that park, they consider themselves Park Boy, that Park Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I heard of Luther's Park Boys long before Crips
right.
came up. I heard of West right. Park Boys long before Crips came up. So guys who was hanging at the park consider themselves them Park Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seemed like the only ones who kept that tradition over all these years was the Antis Park Boys. They still use APB, Antis Park Boys.
Right.
You understand? But they fall under the blood umbrella, that's all. You understand?
Right.
But they still stand on their original shit, bro, the Antis Park Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody else converted to something else. West Park became West Park Power Room. Lewis Park became Lewis Park Power Room, and so on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Shaq, let me ask you this. Again, being that you were over there off Rose and that area, which where you guys were always surrounded by other Pyrus and looters and all this, why weren't you guys ever, or were they swayed to be Pyrus, or was that ever any thought? How were you guys able to do that? And then,
I came close at one time because my sister fell out with the Willow Street girls.
Okay.
And they rat packed my sister, man, and me and my sister, we fighting away, and over the years, I always thought this boy, Derek, was the one that hit my sister in the jaw. And just as
dudes hit
her too? I got the true story. Yeah, dudes jumped in. And they're from the same hood I'm claiming, bro. You know?
Right.
But Willow was a close-knit block. You know what I'm saying? Everybody on Willow was tight. It just Willow had a camaraderie like no other. And Willow was the type of street in our neighborhood. Our parents told us, I don't want your ass on Willow. I'm going to take your butt on Willow.
Mm-hmm.
So us as kids, that makes you curious and want to go. Now, the reason why my mom and them was telling us that, because that was the only block that had the gangbangers on it, the Crips at the time. Now, Oliver Dwayne Roberts, alias Killer Wayne, came home from job court in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And his family had relocated from the Nickerson Gardens to Willow Street in Compton. And when he came home from job court in 1971, Crip gangs was already forming and going on, so he formed up his own when he came home, the Midtown Willow Street Crips.
Okay.
And that's when he came home from job court in 1971.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the history. Yeah. We're just getting started with it as well.
Yeah,
I'm going to do, I'm going to let Queen.
We were surrounded by Power Rules, true. We were surrounded by Power Rules, true. We even had them living in our territory.
Right.
But it wasn't a well-established territory for them. You understand? They had guys living in it, but not enough of them. You understand? The thing was, the old park was businessmen. They probably was the only park in Compton that wasn't using a boy sonar on theirs. They went under Oaks Park businessmen, not Oaks Park boys. See, Donald Norwood was a member of the businessmen in Los Angeles.
Okay.
See, them was the more popular groups, middle 50s, late 50s. There's Bunchy Carter in them era. The Gladiators, the Slawsons, you know, that type of stuff. The farmers.
Right.
The businessmen. Them was the groups then. The Avenues, Chuck Munson and them. Them was your groups then, you understand? And
right.
Once the Crips came out, and them smaller groups that were smaller than them first groups I was naming, they was merging into the Crips. You understand?
Okay.
Raymond Lee Washington was a genius in regards to getting other leaders to compromise with him. Because if you're a leader yourself, why would you choose to be led by someone else, brother? If you're
right.
a leader yourself, you understand? And that's what Raymond was able to do. He was able to get guys who were leaders among native groups and say, hey, man, why don't y'all be Crips? Some of them, he let them keep their little groups together. But say, just put Crip on. From my understanding, he even tried to get Bobby Lavender to put his organization in Bishops with the Crips. He said, y'all could be Bishop Crips, from my understanding. But Bobby didn't turn it down. He's like, no. See, the thing is, in the beginning, the Crips also used the word blood. They called me Young Blood in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening, Young Blood? See, blood was a universal word for black people.
Right, right.
Gangs didn't invent blood at all. They ain't got a damn thing to do with that. You understand? Culture, black culture, has something to do with the term blood. They made music for that. What's happening, blood, Chocolate City, this, that, and the third. We was trying to liberate ourselves as a people, brother. You understand? I'm a child
right.
of the Civil Rights Act. I watched my parents cry when Malcolm X was killed, when President Kennedy was killed, when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. When all this going on, I seen my parents in the streets crying, oh, they was going to help black people, so they killed them. This, you know, but I'm a little kid, and I'm not understanding. But I know my parents is shook up. You understand? So we are the snivelings of the Civil Rights era. Now, we had to stay home while they went outside and protest because we was too small. You understand?
Right.
I wasn't born free in this country. I didn't have no rights in this country. I was just too young to understand or even feel the effects of that. But my parents were. They friends were. They family members were, but not me. You know, they couldn't vote. They couldn't do that. They couldn't do that. They couldn't drink out of certain fucking fountains. All that was still going on, but I was a child, bro. You understand? Now, the thing is, the reason why the gang culture was able to let's say, prosper the way it did, it was at the time of the Civil Rights Movement. And we was getting the results of the Civil Rights Movement. So now, us blacks who was confined to certain areas of Los Angeles, and those who were already outside of Los Angeles, was only there because they worked, had jobs there, so they gave them a section to live in. So you actually had kids in Compton, born in Compton, in the 50s, born in Compton, grew up in Compton. They didn't have a damn thing to do with Los Angeles. You understand me? Now, the thing is, the Crips is the L.A. gang. It was birthed there, formed there. Raymond Lee Washington was born in Los Angeles himself.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Los Angeles. You understand? So, now, from my understanding, he wanted to be a part of the groups that was already going on, the Avenues, Chuck Muscle.
Craig
Muscle.
Right.
But they said, no, you're too young to be in this hip-hop, you know. But he determined to want to do something of his own. And Craig Muscle was an influence to a lot of them guys. That's why a lot of these Crips was... bodies was built up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That influence came from Craig Muscle. You understand? So,
mm-hmm.
when I was young, and when the Crips did come up, and I was young, that's what grabbed my attention from them guys. Because I was in the comic book. And the comic book characters were strong-looking guys. They were strong. They looked strong. They had muscles. You see where I'm going with this? Now.
Yes, sir.
You go up to the, you know, the Crips come out. And you go up to the park, because, okay, the Crips is up there. Now the Crips are. So, you know, I'm fascinated, brother, by these guys. You understand? My love was sports. My dream as a child was to play middle linebacker in the NFL. Not center, not running back, quarterback, nothing. I want to be a middle linebacker. My childhood dream. Nothing else at all. But that. But then the Crips came out, bro. You understand? And they stole that dream from me. I'm like, I don't fuck with football. I wanna be these dudes.
Right.
When I started seeing them. Now, but when you see these guys, let's say it's 60 of them. 45 out of 60 is built, bro. Like they work out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They have muscle. They look strong. And that's what stood out about the Crips to me the most. You had a few slim guys, a few fat guys in the crowd, but most of them looked like they was the Spartans, brother, ready to go, ready to battle.
Mm.
You understand? And so that was stole my attention with them. My cousin Joe was yo. You know, he went to camp and get out with muscles and things like that, you know what I mean? And like I say, when I was in Washington, the east side of Los Angeles, because my cousin Melvin was on 124th between Alameda and Mona.
Mm-hmm.
He actually went to Ralph Bunch. And him and Mac Thomas pretty tight. Him and Mac Thomas pretty tight too now. So the thing was, when the Crips come to Compton, them Compton kids, them Piru Street boys that I'm telling you about, that I heard about long before Crips. Because you had these park boys, these car clubs, these other little small groups that we may not know the name of, you know, the funny names, the Avengers, the shit like that, you know, like
warrior-type
gang names. But they just dudes, you understand, type thing. And the big groups are like the, let's say, the Park Boys and them type guys. You see what I'm saying? Now, all of a sudden, the civil rights, boom, go down. Okay. That's when we had affirmative action. We don't have that now. Now, affirmative action allowed us to migrate. And they couldn't hold us against it. You understand? When the civil rights bill passed, it gave all the white folks a chance to get on board. And the thing was this here. Okay, they no longer second-class citizens. Okay. They can sue you now. You know what I'm saying? Discrimination, all this shit. We coming anew here. You're no longer second-class citizens. So we giving you all the opportunity so to, where at least the federal government, because it was the federal government that got the Confederacy to give. You understand? So now the federal government is in control, and under affirmative action, those who's being funded by the federal government said, if you don't have 40% minority in your workforce, we ain't funding it no more. You understand? So,
yeah.
That was the only reason why black folks got the opportunity to get some of these jobs that we have. You see where I'm going with this? Nah.
Yes, sir.
They had to let us be cops, firemen, and everything. We could no longer be denied. But the system was smart. Only blacks that they allow into the law enforcement was ex-military blacks. You understand? Because they was already disciplined. You understand? On such things. So, mainly those who became cops that were black have some type of military background. My daddy was in the Navy. Korean War. And very patriotic. So that's why they was able, my daddy was able to get in. You understand?
Right.
Wasn't no simple black man was going to become a cop. No way in the world. They needed someone who was already, let's say, chastised. And blacks that went through the military have already been. You see where I'm going? So now, well, so now here we is. We moving into Compton's and shit from L.A. We coming from L.A. We moving into Compton's and Carson's and Long Beach. But the Crips coming too. Here come the Crips though. With that, you understand? Now, the Power Root Street Boys was local Compton kids. Them boys was born in Compton. Them
right.
Boys over there in the swamps areas, and over there in West Side, Piru and Piru Street, I think they was there because of jobs. Their parents worked for white people. You understand? And some of them was able to live in certain sections of Compton because they worked there. I found a video that I put on my page. It's titled Compton 1971. And niggas was getting shot and killed and gangbanging then. It's 1971 in Compton. And I was trying to explain that.
Right. Let me ask you this, Zach. And just like you said, people on the West Side and West Side Piru Street Boys and all of this, was there a thing like in Compton, kind of like how L.A. was it certain parts that were better than others and good, or was all Compton kind of a nice city? Or was the West Side better than the East Side, or what have you?
Well, when you're talking housing, it varies. Where we live, I say it was older homes.
Okay.
Richmond Farm area, older homes. I say 0165 area, older homes. West Side, the older homes, but I think the building of them started improving when it got west, when it was going west.
Okay.
So the homes in the West Side Piru areas and swamps going closer to, like even over in the Grandies, they got like bins and patios and shit in their homes and stuff like that. Now, over there on Rose, well, the house we had the house, and it is also a guest house. We also had a guest house. But my daddy rented it out. to Mexican family. We only had like three families lived in that place, and they were all Mexicans that my daddy allowed to live back then. Even back then, my daddy won't deal with black folks when it came to business, because he's like, I don't have to break him up, hurt the neck about my shit. You know, niggas been face for the longest, bro. I don't mean to be cutting.
I know what you mean. My cousin got some property too in L.A. She just mostly rented Hispanics as well. I understand.
I mean, it's sad, man, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true. But yeah, now Lewis Park, them had nice homes, nice yards and shit, but they was the older type homes.
Right.
For me. You know what I mean? But yeah, some of the housing were better in some sections. I would say that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to break down of that. How maybe that was, you know what I mean? I got a lot more, but I want to let Queen jump in because I know she got some questions for you. And Queen is actually raised in Compton as well, so she knows a little bit more.
Yes,
and I know
sir.
She
yes,
got
sir.
Some questions, so I'm gonna let Queen jump on in. Queen Jean.
Yes, I was raised on 166 in Hilford, and we had one of those nice homes as well, like you were saying with the patios as an addition.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hall like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
and
some
I
areas is just different.
Yeah.
Some of them are just different.
And I
recall they had them flat top roofs over there in that area, you know?
Yeah, they definitely did.
A lot of houses where the roofs are flat. Because I had some cousins live on Central between Caldwell and the graveyard right there.
Yeah, that's where we were at, right there, right behind the graveyard. Stay right there,
we come up Central, turn on Caldwell, and before you get to that first street, it's an alley. It'd be an alley right there, and it wind all behind them houses and stuff back then in them areas.
Yeah,
you know
that's the area I was raised in.
And I think the garbage truck used to come back there to get their trash cans back there.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, it depends on the area. Yeah, it depends on the area. But I would say so, yeah. But how you doing, Goddess? I'm honored to be on your show.
I'm doing great. It's an honor to have you on the show. Truly, it is. You know, I get to see you every day on your videos and everything, and even your video this morning. But I just wanted to touch on when you was in CYA, you was 15 years of age when you went there. You spent 3 years there. And when you came out, you was 19 years of age. How did you, you know, going in as a juvie and coming out as an adult, how did you adjust coming back out?
Man, I had a support base that some didn't come home to. I had some awesome parents, ma'am, and they were supportive of me throughout my whole incarceration. And I returned home with a job waiting on me. You know, my father had a job waiting on me. So the day I came home, the start of the next week, from whenever I got in, it was off to work I go. So I have to thank my father for that.
So how old were you when you started gang banging, when you got into the gangs? What age was that?
12, okay. But I was hanging around them here since I was 9. 8 and 9
so
years old.
Their muscles intrigued you, so you gave up your dreams. You gave up your dreams because of how the the statue of how the Crips look, of their body statue, and that just, like, let me go on this side instead of going on and being a football player?
I continue to play sports even as a gang member.
Okay.
I still play sports, but no, I didn't play no high school. My career in sports was over by the eighth grade. I wasn't playing sports no more.
No, that's right. You started at 12. Yeah.
I was full flooded. Yeah. I was breaking in homes and robbing people at that age.
A different sport.
I was actually. I went from playing sports to jumping in through people's bedroom windows and opening the back door for the homeboys so we could steal all we could at that time. Yeah, but
Go ahead, brother.
No,
I had some more, but I'm going to let Queen. Go ahead, Queen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I don't have much more. But I did want you to speak about you, the congressional hearing, and you also said about CBS Action News. That, you know, what was your affiliation with that?
Well, I believe I did, it was West 57 I did first. Yeah, it was West 57 I did first. But before I did West 57, or was it after? See, y'all got me thinking hard. I don't know how I got invited for the congressional hearing. Oh, okay, this is how that happened. Like I thought. Okay, you remember I told you that I started my positive Crip in 1987. It was 1987 and I decided, I said, you know what? I have to change my life. Something, you know, I have to do something because, you know, everybody's dying, you know. I just have to make some change with my life. So that change was, I won't be aggressive no more. I won't be on the offense anymore. Meaning, if I saw someone I felt like I'm having issues with, I ain't going to just shoot at them no more when I see them. Because it's normally open fire. Ain't that fool right there? You understand? And you bop, take your shots at him. You feel me? When the time presents itself. So I say I ain't going to be doing that no more, but I'll be on the defensive. You understand? I have to protect myself. I'm in a dangerous environment, so I need to be on the defensive. So, despite my change at that time, feeling like I don't want to be doing harm to nobody anymore, I've seen enough violence. You know, enough is enough. You know, everybody's dying. Enough is enough. And I just didn't want to contribute to it anymore. Not me. You understand? So, when I decided to make some changes, most guys that come out of, let's say, our culture, they convert onto something else to change for the better in their lives. They have become a Muslim, a Christian, or something of that nature to fall out of the persona that they was once under. They feel like, I got to do something other to be positive or better with my life. And then that's fine and dandy. I don't have a problem with it. I've done it myself. I converted to red, black, and green. I got all into Africa, black history. And I did everything, you understand? But as I'm doing this, I'm converging around other people, Muslims, other people, this, that, and the third. And now that I'm getting involved in the community and want to try to change the community, because I co-founded an organization, took me and two friends of mine, the Afro-Americans for Peace, back in 1987. Because we wanted to bring about some change in the community. So us three put together an organization. We went to the pastor in the church asking, could we use this church to bring about the community to meet up and, you know, and discuss issues in the community and try to make things better. And he was like, hallelujah, you know, because he knew me as the guy, you know, hanging out with guns and knucklehead guys and can on and, you know, drinking and that when he see us, you know. And so he was like, hallelujah, this young man want to do something here? Oh, y'all more than welcome to use my church, right? So we had a few meetings, this, that, and the third, and, you know, try to get the thing going on. And then I converted to the red, black, and green, started doing a lot of African stuff. And after a while, I just came into thought with myself, and I was saying, why is it I can't be who I am? It just be positive, be a better person that way. Why should I have to convert to something else to be a good guy, a positive guy? You understand where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Are you still with me? And the thing was like,
I'm with
you. And another thing with me was this here. When I was doing the black history and getting into my blackness in Africa and all that, people want to speculate on things they say happened 1 million years ago, 2 million years ago, and stuff like that. And I just wasn't comfortable with that. You understand? I said, how can people just be so certain and so confident that this is what actually happened 1 million years ago? Better yet, 2 million years ago. You know what I mean? I'm like, who the hell is around that long to convince us that all that was going on? Now, if somebody just throwing stuff out here and you can run with it or you can't. You don't have to. You understand? And I didn't want to run with that no more, y'all. I just wasn't comfortable with it. You feel me? And I said to myself, I said to myself, you know what I do know? I know Crip like the back of my hand. I know this gang culture stuff like the back of my hand. Shit, I know blood stuff. I know Mexican stuff. I know this, that, and the third. I know that like the back of my hand. I know all the facts on that. You understand? I'm like, why can't I just be what the hell I am and be positive, though?
Yeah, and speaking on that, you had stated, I'm sorry, that 8 years ago you was going to stop cripping. Why was that? You had I heard that in one of your on your YouTube channel.
I was embarrassed by when I got on social media. I seen how they was going by with it.
Mm-hmm.
They was wrong. I mean, they was putting K on the end of Crip, right?
Right.
And this is this gang culture stuff. A lot of people may not be up on it, but put a K on the end of something, you're telling them people that you kill them. You'll kill them. is what you're basically telling me.
See, yeah, like
Thing was this here. Thing was this here in the gang culture. Thing was this here. In the beginning, before it was killing in Cano, yeah, we across each other out and this and that because we didn't like each other. So we crossed each other out in Cano. Now the thing was this here, though. When it went from no longer fighting, and it's okay, we just gonna kill them, cuz from here on out, no more talking, no more of that. We just gonna kill these niggas, you know, when we see them now. No talking, no nothing. When we see them, let's start shooting. So when it went to that, instead of crossing you out now, we put a K on the end of it now. Let you know we're going to kill you. That's what the K meant.
Yeah.
In gang culture.
Right. I remember when they had
that's what
you
meant.
They was called, what were they called? They was called
now,
the Knights. It was something, but they were the BK shoes. Blood killer shoes.
Oh, British Knights.
The British Knights.
British Knights. Oh, I love how the blood slipped that, though. the Crips break them off for their shoes, right? Because we saying they blood killers. We saying they blood killers for us. Man, I seen it was Stutterbox from Lewis Park. Seen that's cop swap me one day, right?
Uh-huh.
He had some red and white BKs on. I said, boy, what you doing in these? I said, boy, what you doing in there? He said, SAG, I know what y'all think it stands for. He said, but they blood kingdom for me, homie. Ha-ha! I said, I like that, homie, when he told me that.
Yeah.
You know, no set tripping, no getting mad about it, nothing, you know what I mean? He said, yeah, I know what y'all say they stand for. He said, but they blood kingdom for me. I said, okay, right on, man. I said, I dig that. But a lot of people got their head blown off of wearing the shoes.
Of course. Mm. Yeah. Mm. They did. Somebody told me
he had a cousin from out of town in Inglewood, and some families killed him for wearing them shoes. He had some BKs on.
Because some people didn't even know. Some of the, it was innocent. Some people were innocently wearing them, not even knowing.
Yeah. It just died from out of town. He's from out of state. He's from out of state wearing them.
Yeah.
And Inglewood family
killed him. Because they were British Knights. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just in the wrong area with them on. That's all.
Exactly. Talk about your chapter that you have, that you got going on. It's One Crip, One Love. It's an organization.
Oh, sister, but yeah, I really didn't finish up that congressional hearing for you, though.
Okay, well, let's go back to that. Go ahead. I apologize.
But,
OG,
he said, slow
go
down.
Back to the
congressional hearing. Slow down now. Slow down now. You're moving too fast now. Stay with me now. Stay with me. You understand where I'm going? You understand where I'm going with this? Say, you understand where I'm going with this?
I'm just trying to get in
now,
where
this
I can
is
get
this
in.
This is how
I'm getting
that congressional hearing. When I co-founded that organization with them jobs, I helped a lot of other better established organizations out. The Community Youth Gang Service, have y'all heard of them?
Yeah.
You had a nonprofit running around called the Community Youth Gang Service. I helped them out. You had Impact. I helped them out. You had Project Hope.
I
helped them out. Inglewood Unified School District, I helped them out. And Compton Unified School District, them out. So I was helping other people out. And Congressman Merv Dominley was hearing about me. Plus he seen me on them at 48 hours in that West 57.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, can I get that guy? as a witness for the Congress, because Merv Domley put the congressional hearing together. And you had senators and congressmen from all over the country come to Compton for this congressional hearing because they wanted to get the 411 on gangs and drugs, because now we was in Kansas City, Omaha, Memphis, St. Louis, you know what I mean, and so on. And they're like, what the fuck going on? Who is these Crips? Who is these Bloods? Oh, they come from L.A. and blase, blase. But at the time, Compton was the hot market. You understand? So they come to Compton. Hey, what's going on? So Merv Domley put it together. So I went on there and I testified. You have to be under oath in the congressional hearing. Put your hand on the Bible like you're in court. Swear to tell the truth. Hold to number two. So they asked me questions like, what's going on? And I gave them to them raw. I gave them the raw answer. And I wasn't intimidated and scared, and I knew how to answer them without intimidating me or others. To the fact that they can get a clear view on what was going on. I got a congressional hearing from Merv Domley from my work in the community. You know what I mean? So... Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for a while, y'all. For a while. It's been since 1987 for me that I've been walking this chalk of positivity, trying to be a righteous man, you know. That's why I tell people, you can't go halfway with righteousness. You understand? You got to be all in. You can't be fine with some crap and then other stuff, you're not, you know, it don't work that way. You understand? So, but my one Crip, one love, my one Crip, one love main focus is to stop the violence amongst Crips, at least. Number one, that's its main focus, is to stop the violence. But my dream is to actually wipe out the old persona of the Crips and revitalize it under a new one. I want to make it a legitimate and legal organization. You understand? And my recruitment consists of, let's say, legitimate people. People who earn a living. People who are law-abiding, people who are respectful, and down the line. And we have Crips that are that. You understand? I know Crips that can drive ships, baby. Ships. I know Crips that can fly planes. I know Crips who can do air and heating. I know Crips who can fix a diesel truck. And that's how they earn a living. They don't steal. They don't sell drugs. They don't roam the streets all times of night. They got kids to raise, wives to assist. And that's what they do, brother. But they, at heart, they're Crips, just like me. Yeah, you understand? But
I definitely understand.
But they chose family over hood. You understand? They gave the hood what you give your hood. But once it became fatherhood, they put it on the back burner. You understand? And I respect men that do that.
Most definitely.
I respect men that do that. So, with the one Crip, one love, that's what I'm building on. See, now, but everybody said, oh, the Crips, oh, them guys killers, they all this, they all that. So, and they are. I'm not going to sit up here and disguise it, camouflage it, anything. Oh, yeah.
They are when it's
have done horrible things. Have done horrible things. Crips have a bunch of no good, devil-minded people in it. I'm not going to sit up here and lie. There are. But now, we at a stage where we are separating ourselves from them. You understand? Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Remember when the black Elijah Muhammad came out? And we start hearing about the black Muslims?
Uh-huh.
You remember?
Yes.
I'm going to ask y'all this. How did you recognize Muslims when you saw them?
I recognize them.
Give me your first. When you noticed, oh, they're Muslims, why did you say that? Why did you say that when you saw them?
I recognize it from their statues.
What was it about them? Go ahead. Say it, sister.
Their statues, the way that they carried themselves. It was their statues, the way that they carried themselves.
Bingo. We got a winner. They dress nice. They polite. Am I correct?
Yeah, I got them in my family.
All of them had nice haircuts. Yeah. That's how you knew who they were.
Discipline. Very disciplined. Right.
They wore bow ties. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
They wore their fur hat.
If they stand in the front of the store selling the final call and bean pies, and them ladies come in that building, what they do? Swing the door open for, don't they?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
For life.
Yeah.
All that. So,
and they stand with their hands in front of them with their hands folded.
So I'm trying to find a new identity for us righteous Crips. So when society see us out there, they will know, oh, those are the good guys. Then the guys I hear about doing awesome things in their community. Doing this, doing that, because that's what we're going to be doing. Great things for the community. And another thing we're going to do, we're going to take control of our communities again, but in a righteous way. And we're going to no longer allow these devils that endanger our communities and the people in it to have control of it any longer. We finna take it back, and it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time.
Okay, that was pretty cool. Okay, G, well, I turn it back over to you. Oh, one more question. No, go ahead, G. I turn it back over to you.
No, I was just saying he caught you off guard. You weren't ready. You weren't ready.
For what?
Zach, I wanted to ask you.
No.
I'm just messing with you. Just ready to talk again. Let me ask you, Zach. Recently, you put out a video. I had the clip. I was gonna play it, but I'll just ask you. You know where. When I know you say this, but I know a long time ago you moved on and, you know, more positive things, even though you said you always, you know, represent the neighborhood. But recently you put something out, a video where you denounced yourself. One, I don't know if it was denouncing, but separating from Santana and just saying you original Crip. What prompted that, and what was that kind of about? Because it sounded a little personal as well. What was all behind that? What made you want to do that?
A minority.
If you want to speak on it.
Minority.
If you want to speak on it, I don't know.
A minority in my neighborhood was so envious was so envious, brother, with my stature, mm-hmm. with our set. They try to do everything in the book, brother, to down me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything in the book. They try to down me, brother, but it didn't hold no weight. You understand?
Right.
And the thing is this here, brother. I left here in 1990 because, like I said, mm-hmm. My journey with changing my life didn't start in 87, bro. It started in 84 when I went to Mississippi to get myself off of drugs.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
That's when my fight with my demons begun in 1984. When a lot of them dudes, they were on drugs, brother, in and out of jails, and this, that, and the third. You know. See, that's what I try to explain in that video. I say
right.
The thing is, I was just so further advanced than y'all. It took time to tell that. You understand? And they can't stand it, bro. You understand me? Because I learned on their mistakes. The reason why I've been able to be a father and be around my children, their whole upbringing, and never go to jail on my kids and put in more hours with niggas in the streets than my kids because I saw them do it. You understand? Before I came a father,
right.
I witnessed my own niggas do that shit. And I always said, I ain't doing that. You know, I said, when I become a father, I ain't doing that. You know, stuff I saw them do.
Mm.
Now, and I don't know if they have the same dad as I, but shit. Just my father's influence alone would have taught me fucking better than that, homie. You know what I'm saying? I see niggas are naughty kids. This, that, and the third for these niggas, brother. I didn't become a father until I was 30. I got younger homies got kids older than mine. Got grandkids way older than me. They was fathers 15, 16 years old.
Right.
And I ain't had no babies yet. You understand? And that's what it was. They were so advanced, blah, blah. You know, and I said, you know what? As if I needed Santana as much as they do. But I don't, brother. Santana didn't make me. I made Santana. Santana made them, bro. That's the
okay, let me ask you this, Zach. Two-part question. Because I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, how Santana was merged and it was really two sides. And I hear more people kind of announced their own original, you know, side before Santana, but I know they merged. How did you feel about the merge? Were you on board with that? And does that have anything to do with even later, any separation within the neighborhood? And second of all, I want to ask you, even though these words and these things going on with some of your homeboys, why would that still make you, or was that enough for you to still just denounce Santana like that over a few people? Or I don't know, you know. Can you do
well,
that?
Well, man, because, man, the thing is this here, man. I don't get down with snitches. I don't get down with devils and that, brother. And if you're going to allow that shit to be a part of our thing, then they can have it. That's why I walked away from it. That's why I walk away from it, brother. I'm a true to the bone, cuz. I don't laugh and smile in rat spaces. I don't laugh and smile in niggas who set my homeboys up to be killed and shit. So what? You from the same fucking neighborhood as me. I don't get down like that. That's that fake love. All these fucking functions you see these niggas do, it's a nigga there that probably killed a friend of theirs. They don't say a damn thing to them, though. They laugh and smile and do their thing going about their business. They say, I don't fuck with dude. I don't say nothing to him. But you're around him with the knowledge of what he done, and you can't say shit to him. It's a bunch of cowards, man, in the game, bro. Yeah, but they trying to make me look bad by saying, oh, you don't come around, you don't do. I don't come around for a reason. It's by design. It's by design. I don't get down the way they do, bro. You understand? So I say, I don't need Santana. I made Santana. I helped made it. Santana made these niggas who denounced me. Santana made them.
Right.
If they wasn't a Santana, they wouldn't be shit. You understand? That's the difference. So I said, you know what? Fuck it, I'm gone. Y'all can have it. I don't need that. I'm an original Crip anyway. I was something else before Santana anyway, so it ain't no problem for me. But my fucking homies wouldn't allow it. Fucking phone rang 200 times. That's why I say that's the minority that feel that way in my neighborhood, brother. And can't none of them whoop me. And I already put it out there to them.
All
the niggas have my name in their mouth already told, let's go. And they ain't answered, homie. So there it is.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
I didn't even mean to, you know, get you a little, you know, heated and stuff. I just wanted to ask you about that because I seen that video. I was just wondering about that.
It is what it is. I always get that question. Oh, man, they say you don't come around all this. You're damn right I don't, bro. Because I don't run with rats and devils, homie. And they allow that kind of shit in. You feel me? So I don't fuck with it. But I got some real homies, don't get me wrong. Talked to quite a few of them today. And them the same guys and all that popping off, they like, fag. Them niggas, let them talk, man. You know, everybody know who fag is. Leave it alone. You know?
Right.
You know,
where did you get the name from?
You said what, baby?
How did you get the name fag?
How did you get
the
name? Well, I seen my homeboy doing it, but he wasn't doing it intentionally. We dog ditched school, and we was going to go up to Oaks Park and drink and smoke weed instead of go to school. And on our way to the park that morning, one of the homies mentioned that I got Snakers out of jail. So we stopped by his mama's house, and she go in that boy's room, let him know we was out there. She said, the boys out here want to see you. He was rushing and slipping some clothes on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. He was rushing and slipped his clothes on, and his pants were sagging. And I could see that he was fresh, you know. He had brand new drawers, and, you know, when you get out of jail, you know, you got to start another wardrobe up, you know what I mean? So.
Right.
I could see he had on new drawers and everything. And it was school season. And every time we start up the next, you know, grade for school, our parents always brought us new clothes for school. You know, drawers, socks, T-shirt, and everything. And I had on brand new everything, too. And I was like, shit, that's cool. I was like, everybody see I got brand new shit on, you know. And so he already done put his clothes on and started heading to the park with us. And as we walking to the park, I was trying to find a way to get my pants to sag like I seen him when he first came out of the house. But I couldn't, you know, because my pants fitted me correctly. So what I had to do was I had to unbutton my pants and open the zipper a little bit, right? And then I adjust my pants, my belt, to get my pants to sag, but my fly stayed open, and it just didn't work that way. And I said to myself, well, the next time I get me some pants, I'm going to get them a size, you know, a little bit bigger so I can do it. And that's how I came up with sagging my pants intentionally, mainly to show that I was fresh and clean. And no, my pants didn't hang below both of my butt cheeks. You understand? I had the belt adjusted enough to where my hip will hug my pants to keep them from falling down. You understand? And you can see my drawers and everything, too. And I started tucking my T-shirt, my wife beater, my slingshot T-shirt into my drawers once I got to sagging my pants. So it was like a fashion statement, mainly to show that I was fresh and clean, because I've seen my homie that, but he wasn't doing it intentionally, you understand? But when I saw it, then I tried to do it intentionally, and then I figured a way out how to do it. And over time, everybody else picked up on it, and we see how it is today.
Oh yeah,
I really take the credit for that, being the first one and bringing it into the gang culture, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't even know if you can call it sagging what they do now.
Well, it's other myths and things on sagging. It's one about the bucking of the bull in the slavery days, sagging of the pants. And then it's also some tales about penitentiary, the sagging of the pants, that it was for homosexual. But I never been to prison, and I never been a slave, so I can't vouch on those. You understand me? But as far as Crips and gang banging niggas doing it, I know how that came about because I'm the reason why.
Okay. Ooh. Hey, Zach, what's your relationship?
Yeah.
You spoke on, I guess, some of the things going on with some of your older friends. What has been your relationship, if any, with some of the younger guys or younger generation from your neighborhood or abroad, if any? You know, far as you know,
I'm in sync all the way down the line with my hood, but because the thing is, it's going to be some righteous ones down the line. You understand? Now, you're going to have those that's on that BS, and then you're going to have those that's about their business, regardless of the era and the generations that they're coming out of. So, I'm in tune with guys that rank OSG as myself, down to OG, all the way down to what we got right now. Newborns or whatever they calling themselves. Yeah, I'm in sync with some all the way down the line, bro. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah.
Okay. That's righteous. That's righteous right there. We got, once again, people. We got a lot of people
I'm
tuning
in. Hand.
We got Mr. Sag in here from Compton, Mr. Harvey, a.k.a. OG Crip Sag. He's here and just telling us his story, and it goes pretty deep. The history is real deep, and the brother, man, just got just so much, man, in his history book. And again, it's just an honor to have you here. The phone lines are open, 914-803-4001. You want to call in, you got anything you want to speak on or ask the homie. The phone lines are open as well. I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, BTP Media Group, 93.3 FMism, D.D. Harrison, and Conversation.
How I find it? Can I get them on regular FM series? How I find them? The 93 FM people you shout out to. The FM
Yeah, it's online. Like the same way you got on here, same way on Blog Talk Radio, and that's the that's Tweed Cadillac.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, the oldies show. After 6:30,
I'm going to tune in and check him out.
Yeah, it goes down.
Yeah, I'll shoot you the link, I'll shoot you the link,
Okay, darling. Well, you know me, you ain't
matter
like playing. I plan on tapping in with you time to time anyway, sister. That's all right.
That's cool.
Hello?
That's cool.
He said hello. Hello? Are you there? Caller, are you there?
Caller, are you there?
Don't be playing. Don't be playing with Sag now. Don't be playing.
At first, I thought y'all wasn't going to even mess with your boy. Because I didn't hear nothing from you, and then you finally got a hold of me. So, but you told me you had to tap in with your people and all that first. So, yeah.
We just had to line it up, Sag. That's all. Just make sure the dates were clear and lined up. That's all it was. Just a scheduling thing, you know?
Right on, brother. Right on.
That's all that is.
Let
me go to the phone line. What'd you say, Queen?
I told him, but we got Queen and, you
know. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. He's in now. He's here. He's here. Mr. Sag is here. Dude, we got a caller. Let me go to the phone line. I think we have a caller.
Yeah, let's
do it. Don't kill me. Caller, hello?
Yo. Hey, man. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Man,
good evening.
I just
want
to... I'm doing swell as far as I could tell. Big shout-out to Sag. You know what I realize now tonight is, damn, I'm old as hell. Because I remember who Merv Dimerly was. He used to be, man, in the King Parades and all of that, man. I actually remember that guy. And I remember when banging was banging and all the above before the crack. I was there as well, man. And I understand how you say sometimes you got to figure out where you at as a man and take care of your own responsibilities. And sometimes if you go back to the hood, sometimes it ain't all good. You feel me? I can understand that philosophy. I understand why dudes do it. I understand why dudes want to stay close to the hood. I can see both sides of the coin. But one thing I can say, if you care about your life and you care about your family and you can't be no 50-year-old gangbanger because it ain't no future in it. If you can survive to even be 50-plus, you need to consider, man, work from a distance, feel me, or show up as needed to help your community. You can help your community from afar. You don't necessarily have to be there at every hood day, at every function. You really don't have to do none of that. You still could be a factor to help out your community. That's just my personal opinion, y'all.
There it is,
right,
bro. Appreciate it, man.
Respect it. Respect it.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yes, sir. You got the man up. I mean, it's all about manning up, you understand? And that's what I cared about. Yeah, we all Crips, but we all individuals, though. You understand? And the individual means just that.
I realized one day when I told my girl, man, some of my friends, man, have a little function in the neighborhood. Man, I just want to roll on them real quick. And the look on her face was like, I know those are your friends, but you know some might be hating on you. And make sure that you hang around with people that you know. And, I mean, gave me a pep talk like I was about to go to the Army or some shit. And it was like, wow. She really understood what can happen when you just want to go to the hood to really be sociable, see people you ain't seen in a long time, and when alcohol is up in the game, and you never know, a person might trip on you, and then it might be a youngster that'll trip on you, and He don't even know who the hell you are. I had to get an escort to walk through the liquor store that I've been going to since I was 12 years old with a note from my mama to buy cigarettes. I had to get an escort to walk me to the liquor store in my own hood because the youngsters didn't know who I was. Feel me?
Yeah, that's crazy, huh, bro? Some crazy stuff, huh?
Yeah, man.
Man,
yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. But like, now, since you hit that topic, though, let me address something, though, man. Now, these little youngsters in the hood you talking about, you know who in they head, brother? Niggas who don't live in the hood no more. Niggas who don't live in the hood no more, but they still come over and hang out, homie. And they continue to riffraff, but they passing it on down to these youngsters. And this is the thing we trying to get to. It's this here, man. This is the thing we trying to get. Did y'all see the last video I had getting on these guys saying they got ops and bringing other people into it?
Did
y'all
have
to see that one?
I have not.
No, sir.
No.
Okay, that's the thing, man. You know, now, we got these cats into this opposition, saying people, they opposition and this, that, and the third. And they keeping matters going within Compton. But these guys that's doing it, they don't live in city limits no more, bro. You understand me? They don't even live in the city limits no more. They come to the city and hang out. They come to the city to do their dirt, moody drugs, and this, that, and the third. But they go home, they get on the freeway, and go home and rest their necks. Their kids ain't playing in Compton. Their kids are somewhere else playing, brother. You understand? And they don't want it in these little youngsters' ears, got these little youngsters shooting back and forth can't up, continuing this stream of violence. Now, another thing I don't appreciate, them same dudes walk these yards, these penitentiary yards. They sit up on these tiers, up and down these tiers and in these shower halls with their opposition. And they don't do a damn thing to them, brother. You hear me? They don't do a damn thing to them. Now, if you can sit up in that damn jail with them and compromise, why the hell you can't do it once you back out in society? I have no respect for no man who sat in prison with his opposition and compromised. But you come home on the streets, brother, and you encouraging, influencing, exploiting violence. You understand? But not taking part in it. You using these youngsters to get it done for you. And that's not right, brother. It's not right, homie. It's not right. And the thing is, when these youngsters die, they ain't going to bury them. 9 out of 10, mm-hmm. your hood going to be selling plates to bury you. And if you turn around and go do some foul crap for these niggas in your ear, and you get sent to prison, they ain't going to do a damn thing for you when you get in there. You understand? We're trying to bring an end to this violence, and we can't had these guys continuing it, brother. But I'm saying, bringing other people into it now. If that's how they feel, they need to do it. They need to do it. But some of these guys, they don't want to go to prison no more. They don't want to lose out on the money that they've been losing out on from sitting in prison anymore. So they ain't going to get their hands dirty, brother. They got these little young boys doing it. Oh, if y'all want to be in the hood, y'all got to put in work. Y'all got to do it. No, we ain't trying to put in no fucking work. We're trying to bring an end to that shit. Now, if they got a problem with some oppositions, they need to do it. It needs to end with them. Don't bring nobody else into that. And it's finna stop, though, bro. It's finna stop, bro. They is no longer going to control our communities in the way that they do, man, through intimidation and fear and exploiting these young boys' minds with their little funky-ass money, cars, and jewelry and shit. And they're getting these young kids' heads, putting them on pot. Later on, got them popping pills and every fucking thing else. Got them thinking that shit is flying. It's not, bro. I mean, come on, man. We need to reprogram our youth. And we will reprogram them, bro. We are. I mean, these children should not be taking no... No child should be taking no adult information whatsoever. I don't give a fuck if it's a cigarette. So what is legal to smoke cigarettes and we think it's fine? We do it around these children like it's fine. We fucking drink in front of them, cuss in front of them, smoke weed in front of them. Shit, you got something that probably fucking shoot dope in front of them. You understand? That's from on these kids, man. It's from on them, brother. I mean, we got these kids, man, young parenting. We still got kids parenting, 16, 15 years old, man, when they should be preparing themselves for when they're 30, bro. Not doing fucking things that a 30-year-old should be doing. You understand? And if we don't reprogram our kids, we going to keep recycling the same old bullshit. And the buck stop here, brother. It stop here, man. And I'm going to do everything I can till my very last breath to make this world a better place for these children, brother. And I'm not going to tolerate nobody doing anything around kids that shouldn't be done around them. I'm going to speak up. I'm speaking up. I don't care about everybody else. I'm going to say something. Because if we don't, it'll go on and on and on and fucking on, bro. You understand? And kids should not be, we shouldn't smoke cigarettes around children. Alcohol around children. Because they're not that age for it. But they see us doing it and they think it's fine. And it's not. And we're not honest with these kids. You don't tell them, yeah, baby, your mama smoked cigarettes, but it might kill me 20 years from now. It fucks our lungs up and gives us cancer. Tell the kids the truth. They think that shit is okay. To see y'all drinking, laughing, and cussing and smiling, they think that shit okay. Tell them, no, baby, I'm drinking, but this alcohol might fuck my liver up. I might be on dialysis and need your help when you get 30. We don't tell them the fucking truth. And it ain't nothing fly about that shit, man. And we need to wisen up as a people. I mean, not just us black folks, brown, white, Asian, and everybody need to, brother. Everybody, man. And that's what I'm saying, bro. Enough is enough. These niggas ain't going to be going through our community killing kids, killing mothers and innocent people, and they going to sit around and smoke fucking blunts in 40s like it's good. It ain't going to be good no more. it ain't going to be good no more. We not tolerating. We not tolerating, and I fucking mean it. And I'm a gangbang, but it's going to be in a righteous way. We ain't tolerating it no more. That fucking snap stitching and all that goddamn mentality. No, motherfucker, speak up. Let us know who the fuck it is so we can rid of his ass. That's what we need the community to do. Don't be afraid of these fuckers no more. If you know who they are, let us know. And we will rid of their ass. We don't need the police. We ain't afraid of them. We Crips just like them, but we just righteous ones. And we ain't going to allow the devils to endanger these communities, these kids, these mothers, these grandmothers, and the people anymore. We ain't tolerating it no more. It's plenty of us all across the country. We ready to get down. We ready. It's just a matter of putting it together. But they all want to take my lead, so I got to get to these people. And I'm about to travel. Because the things we got to discuss can't be done over radio. It can't be done on the telephone. It can't be done on social media. We all got to be at the table, Emano, 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 And once we all on the same page, we gonna put it in effect. So all you guys in the gang culture, let me forewarn you guys right now, because I don't see you. And there's plenty more people that don't fear y'all.
He look like he's here.
Brother, y'all days is numbered, man. Y'all days is numbered, man. We ain't tolerating that shit no more out of you guys, man. Y'all ain't going to hold our people hostage no more, brother. Y'all not going to be killing innocent people, raping girls, pimping girls, poisoning our kids and getting away with it anymore. It ain't happening no more. All we need is a concerned parent to give us a phone call. And we're going to pay him a visit. And you niggas don't got to have a clue what's going to go down. You ain't got to have a clue. But when it go down, you're going to know. You will know. You niggas doing that kind of stuff, it ain't no secret about y'all. You niggas is not slick. I know who the evil niggas is in my neighborhood. I know who they all are. They ain't fooling me. All them been speaking against me and behind my back, I know who exactly who they are. Just as quick as they spoke it, people came back to me with it. Hey, fag, blah, blah, blah. So I'm aware. I'm fully aware. I got people telling me all the time, fag, be safe, man. Yeah, I know a lot of people don't like me. Oh, I know that for a fact. Because I don't condone what they stand on. And I don't respect it, and I won't. Because I'm my own man. So I tell everybody, be your own man. Be your own woman. That's what you do. Do the right thing. And if you have children, that's what you should be doing any damn way. It's doing the right thing. So there it is, man. I don't care who you are. Crip, blood, whatever, man. I don't care. If you're in violation of the community, You ain't getting away with it no more. Anymore. Now, I'm done. I asked any more questions y'all have, but I done spoke out. And that's mainly what I'm wanting to do. I just want to let the people know it's going to be a revolution. It's going to be a revolution. But it's going to be amongst us. Nobody else. But us. I'm talking about us gangbangers. Us gang members. Us gang culture people. I'm talking about us. I don't care if you're 12 or 62. If you out of this life, then you know what I'm talking about. We ain't even gonna tolerate you niggas writing on the fucking walls no more. We tired of that shit. We finna start up a community beautification program, and we gonna keep it that fucking way. So it's a lot of shit we ain't gonna be tolerating any fucking more. The police can't do nothing about it. How long the police been in? Long before fucking gang. You understand? So, it's a done deal, man. Our children's lives is at stake. And we don't have no fucking time to be bullshitting about this anymore. I don't know who these guys think they are. I don't know who they think they are, but it ain't no gods walking this earth, brother. I know that for a fact. Because I fear no one but God. There ain't nothing walking on this earth that I fear. And I don't give a fuck if it's driving a tank or got an assault rifle in his fucking hand. He's still a man like me, and I'm not going to fear him. So there it is, man. It's going to be a revolution, and it's going to be amongst us. And you devils, man, y'all ain't going to fucking last much longer. We ain't tolerating y'all shit, man. Enough for that. Enough for that. And especially y'all trying to get girls to set up childhood friends of theirs for y'all. A girl. How you dragging girls in your fucking mess? And then you want to be against her because of her loyalty to a childhood friend? Then imagine that she ain't loyal to a childhood friend. What would that make her to you when you ain't a childhood friend of hers? You just somebody she got involved with when she grew up later on. So anybody has got to go against a childhood friend, I wouldn't want them as a friend of mine. Hell, shit, they'll go against me. You know, something y'all niggas should respect, y'all don't. And that's their problem. See, I know who these niggas are, and I don't want to throw their fucking name out, but I'm a man, nigga. I'm going to wait till I see y'all personally. If I ever run across you niggas personally, I'll let you know, cuz, when I see you. And I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. All right. There it is. There it is. Crip Sag has spoken.
No, man, I got mothers. I got fathers. I got aunties, grandmothers, uncles and shit calling me every day about Compton. Sag, what can we do? What, asking me, what can I do? Because they know I put the city together before. I did. But we dealing with young men I don't even fucking know. It's their nephews and grandkids. They say, Harvey, that's my nephew. Or that's my grandson. I just don't know the dudes, but I know their families. You understand? And their families are concerned about them. They're getting killed, bro. Our little niggas who claim the same set as I. And they're asking me, Sad, can you do something? But I got devils in them little niggas' ears. They listening to the wrong niggas from my neighborhood. Those niggas they listening to ain't no earthly good. They done killed niggas from our neighborhood. Snitched on niggas from our neighborhood. And y'all listening to them? But you know, they might have killed a couple niggas before. They got a little money and shit like that. And they got these young boys intimidated. You know what I mean? And it's sad. But like I say, they get them little boys' heads, had them go shooting up around the city. But them niggas get on the freeway and go home. They don't live in Compton no more. Them niggas in Bellflowers and Paramount stay out of Compton. They ain't in Compton. You know what I mean? But y'all still out there stirring the shit up? Come on, cuz. That's bullshit. It's what it is. And it's not fucking fair. But see, they don't know. All this coming up to a revolution ain't came up in a few months. We talking years, man. I've been building on this going on 9 years now. It takes time. It takes time. I've been connecting the dots for 9 years. Got people all across the country feel the way I do, bro. Ready to go. They're ready to go. I had one young man say, you saved my life. I said, what you mean? He said, man, I thought I had got to rob, sell dope, and all that kind of shit to be Crip. But you say, no, you don't have to. I say, fuck no, you don't have to do that shit. You don't want to. It's what I told him. You know, you don't have to take no penitent chances. You don't have to do nothing like that if you don't want to. That's what I told him. And he thanked me for that. I said, you got kids? He said, yeah. I said, well, you ain't going to do your kids if you're taking a penitent chance. So take your ass to work and earn your living. I said, that's what I did. I worked and earned a living. I don't glorify drugs. I did it, yeah. I got a little money, hustling, selling dope sometimes. But I mainly earned my living. I earned my fucking living. I got my ass out of bed either every morning or at night and took my ass to work. And I was gripping at work. Still say cuz. Still this and that. Come on, man. You gotta ruin your life for this shit, and you shouldn't.
Right, right.
And you shouldn't. And you shouldn't,
right.
And when this shit came about, it was to look out for one another, cuz. It wasn't to be against one another. Yeah, true enough, we started fighting. We even started shooting shit on each other first. But a genocide enhanced it. A system played right into it, and we went for the fucking okie-doke. Then they gave us drugs and used that against us. You know, so, come on, man. The only reason why we out of hand is because of a genocide. But we brothers could have worked this shit out. But a genocide wasn't allowing it, bro. It wasn't allowing
it. Right, right.
He said, hey, we got these motherfuckers where we want them. Yes, I'm sorry.
Right, right. No, I'm going to say we're going to go ahead and end it there. We got a couple minutes left, but before we do that, I want you to let the people know where they can follow you at and hear, check out some of your videos and hear more of you, you know, about what you're preaching and speaking about, because it's a lot of great videos on your channel. Let the people know where they can get at you and follow you or just go ahead.
I'm at the Crip on YouTube. My YouTube channel is the Crip. My Instagram is the Crip, under dash or whatever that is. What's that little line?
Yeah, underscore.
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 Well, I didn't put it on there, but Instagram did. I'm Harvey Fag Hartsfield on Facebook, and I am public. So you don't necessarily have to be my friend on Facebook to see what I'm doing or talking about. All you got to do is go in there and search me. Harvey Fag Hartsfield. They can see all that on yours. Just don't put the Crip Fag on it. Just Harvey Fag Hartsfield on Facebook. And my email is Harvey Hartsfield, RSW@gmail.com. And my phone is 702-473-2015. If anybody want to contact me. I have a 3-book deal. I plan to get the first one on the market right smack in the middle of all by August. That's my goal. You understand? But right now I'm sort of in a situation where me and my wife, and so I'm trying to give me a place to live right now, brother. You know what I mean? So right now I'm just trying to give me a place to live, bro. Right now. So.
Okay.
I was hoping to get some this month, but it ain't gonna be there till the 15th, man. I can't hang around that long for something on the 15th, so I may head to Northern California around the 9th or the 10th of this month and get some time with my grandkids, bro. But before I go, I'm gonna leave a application in the application feed and in the money to hold one just in case they get to me. And if they get to me, I'll come back and move in July, bro. You know what I mean?
What?
Well, I'm here in Vegas. Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'll be all right, dog. I'll be all right. I mean, I'm just tired of, you know, all these weeklies and daily motel things, man. I just need my own place, bro. You know what I mean? But I shouldn't even be in this situation, but what it is, what it is. I'll rebound, bro.
We're
going
to try to set up something. We need to set up like it's something we could set up, but we could try to you know, just, you know what I'm talking about, Queen? Like
I'll get it figured out. I think I'm gonna come over here and park tonight, man. There ain't nowhere to park
around here.
Okay, yeah, we do it offline. No. I've been over here with my nephew and his mama, man, last 4 days, you know what I mean? And I'm so appreciative of that. I mean, it's a couch and I take it, brother, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm so appreciative of that, man. So, but it ain't nowhere to park at this time of night, you know what I mean? Everybody home and, you know, you can't park under the thing. Yes, ma'am,
yes, ma'am.
You know, and they don't be playing in these apartments right here. If you park on these things without the sticker, they tow your shit with the quickness. What's happening with it, man? What's your mama doing? She in the bed? What's your mama doing in the bed? What you doing?
All right, Sag. Well, we'll speak to you offline. We'll go ahead and shut it down.
I'm doing the interview.
Thank you, Sag.
Okay, G. Lou, man. I really appreciate you, G. Lou. And Queen Jane.
Yes, sir.
You is really awesome, my sister. And I encourage you both, man. I encourage you both, man, to keep on doing this, man. Keep on doing this, and if y'all want to bring a boy back for round two, man, you know, I'm more than willing. You know what I'm saying? Maybe boy. Next time we can jot down what we going to do, because we kind of all over the place with the first one. You know what I mean? But we covered a lot of stuff, though. You understand?
Right, right.
We don't want to jot it down. We just wanted to come out.
That's what Gene says. She said, "Fag, we just going to be raw about it and no rehearsing, no nothing. We just going to...
Yeah, we just a conversation.
Shoot out at
we just going to conversate.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it. That's all.
We just going to shoot out at the old corral with our mouth, though. You know what I mean? And when we did
that's
it,
right.
Bro.
That's right.
Well,
thank
well,
you. Thank you again.
Shout
sir.
Out to your blog. I hope that y'all do nothing but prosper, brother, from here on out. And like
you.
I say, I got a number on Gene. I can get a number on you, G. Lou. And
okay.
And
I got you locked
know,
in already. I see your number right here. So I got you
yeah,
locked
yeah, yeah,
in. I see the 702. I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hang on to mine. And that one, this one here is my main line, too. So hang on to mine.
Okay.
Because the
I'll
first
text
one
I'll
threw out
is the
second
number,
line.
So you can lock me in. I'll shoot
yeah,
you a text so you can lock
yeah,
me in.
If you, yeah, now when you do that, you say, well, it's me. I log you in. If you call, I pick up right away.
Okay.
Because if it's unlogged in my phone, I'm not quick to answer. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Okay.
That
I got you.
Blessings
so,
to you, old man.
Blessings to all of us, sweetheart. And I appreciate you
yeah.
guys. I really do. I really do.
Thank you.
Really good. And like I say, my man, that intro was slapping, man. I was like, wow. I'm sitting back.
Thank
I'm
you,
like,
sir.
Am I moan? you doing that music. But
right, right.
The thing you was doing before you put Turtle in there, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's my intro.
Who did that for you, bro?
That's me.
Who
that's all me.
Who did that work for you? You did
that's
all
me.
That yourself?
Yes, sir.
Bad boy, huh? Hey.
Yes, sir. I tried.
I need
man.
Something
I tried.
Like that.
I got
I need
you.
Something.
I got
I need
you.
To spruce, I need to spruce up my YouTube. But I'm not too swabby, man, with that type of stuff, man.
I got you. We'll talk
so
about it. Let me know
help.
What you want to do. I'll make it happen for you. I got you. You got my word. Let me know what you want
to
do, and I'll hook it up for you.
I'm going to email you something, man, or text
okay.
it to you once we line in to each other.
Okay, sir.
Okay?
All good. Yes, sir.
All right, man, you make me feel old saying that, sir, man. I ain't sir. Call me.
No, no, that's disrespect.
That,
no. That's how we try to make you feel. That's
I
just
know.
How I talk.
I know,
homie.
Bro. I know. I'm just joshing.
Okay.
I'm just
okay.
joshing, my man.
All
right.
I know.
Love y'all, man. God bless.
Hey, peace and love, OG. You be rapping.
All right. Likewise, sister. God bless.
All right. Peace. Yeah, that was OG Sag right there. Crip Sag, Harvey. Sorry, I took Queen off, but that was I knew it would be interesting, you know. It definitely was, and
you got very passionate
towards
the
show.
End.
Yeah, that kind of passionate. That blew me away at the end. I wasn't ready for that. But, you know,
yeah,
it's all real.
Passionate. That's what it was. Yeah, that's how he feels,
yeah.
you know. When he was speaking real about the youth and what's happened, that was his real, like, real talk.
That's
just, genuine.
Exactly.
That's how he felt. So he got very passionate about it because he's passionate about what's happening with the young people. And everything he was saying was just, it was just facts. It's the truth.
Right.
And, you know,
it was.
Like you said, somebody got to try to put an end to it because this is why we got a lot of youth dying, a lot of youth killing each other, not respecting each other, not just each other, but even elders or even people older than them. They're just not there because they're not being shown, you know. So he was
right.
speaking facts. So I felt him on that, you know, even as far off as it went, I felt it. So, yeah, we just had to bring him back. So it was a great show.
Yeah, we
great, do. Great conversation.
It was, and I guess we'll end it like that.
and get on up out of here. We it just went real deep tonight, you know. You know, thank you again to SAG, man. Mr. Hartfield, follow him on Facebook, Harvey Crip SAG Hartfield Facebook. IG is just the underscore Crip, I believe. Support your brother, man. We're gonna try to figure. Oh, the Crip underscore. I'm sorry, but just look for him. You'll find him. Thank him again. Thank you, Queen. Thank you, everybody who tuned in. You know, that hung out with us. You know, thank you for the support and all that. And we'll be back on Friday, or we'll be with Tweed tomorrow night, of course. 93.3 Tweed FMism. I'll be co-hosting with Tweed, but we'll be back on Friday. I think we have a guest, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know. But we'll be back on Friday and, of course, Sunday. Saturday, well, no. We're on timeout in YouTube, but we'll be back here on Friday and Sunday, you know. Yeah.
We'll be
but,
back
Friday. Love
Friday.
Y'all. Love
no
you, Queen.
Saturday.
Thank you. Yeah, no, Saturday. We'll
love.
Be back next week.
Everybody stay solid.
Therefore, if you don't do nothing else, stay solid. We love y'all. Peace and love. See y'all Friday and Sunday. Right? Yeah.
Right on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on, y'all. My music gonna play? No? Alright.
Yeah, sir. Shout out to another beautiful show, the T-Lew Show. Shout out to Gangsta. Shout out to Twin. Shout out to Mel to check in. You know what I'm saying? Compton gonna stay famous. You know what I'm saying? It's going to stay famous, just like the Long Beach. Watch, we all, as long as there's a few brothers that stay standing up, man, and try to keep the history, you know what I'm saying? We're going to be all right, though, you know what I'm saying? I appreciate, Gangsta, I appreciate y'all tuning in, man. We're going to have to make you the ambassador of the show, Gangsta, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, homie, all right, whenever y'all move, you just on.
Like Gangsta said, you need to start supporting each other. Black and white, you know what I'm saying? Brown and yellow and all that. We got to support it. But especially the black community have to come together. Not just talking, but just doing. You know what I'm saying? We got to do this. And that's how we do it, our clubs. We got all different nationalities in our, but we see each other as one. We don't care where you're from. We don't care what color you are. We going to just do it. We going to low ride for life. And that's Twin from the Majestic, SBC.
That's right.
G-Luke, it's always G-Luke show. I'm staying on it. I told you, you shouldn't have put me on. I'm going to be on it like Rich, man. You remember when that Al Green got the Rich still on him? I'm going to be on you like that, man. G-Luke, shout out to you, dog, and I appreciate it, homie. And I'm going to tell a whole bunch of people about this, man. And I tell a whole bunch of people to get on there and talk about real life, like real love and real things happening around in life and low-rise and in the community and how you bringing it out to people that don't know. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's one
right.
thing. D. Lou, love you, my brother. Love you, really.